I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We've got Mikel Antonio on the telly and Man City giving it some welly. Welcome to Ramble React. I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Great music, great times, just chitter chat and pints with me and Andy Brassel. How are you doing, Andy? Do you enjoy the football tonight? You're dressed in a rather big sort of body warmer. Is it cold where you are?
I'm glad you pointed out it's a body warmer, Pete, because it's often mischaracterised as me wearing a coat indoors. I've deliberately worn a Czech overshirt beneath to underline the fact that it is a gilet and not a coat this evening. I think gilet inside, fine, coat inside, not fine. And I've lived in some very cold properties in the northeast of England, so I think I would have an excuse either way, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and you're looking after the pennies. We're in the middle of an energy crisis, or a 2-year energy crisis anyway.
Exactly. It's funny, the first student house I lived in Newcastle, I mean, it was so cold you could see your own breath in there. And we had one video. We were so poor, we had one video, which was Groundhog Day, obviously, recorded off the TV. And we used to sit there watching it in our coats. And my mate Rich, he had lost one of his hard contact lenses and he had lost one lens out of his glasses. So
mix and match.
He would put, but it was the opposite one, fortunately. So he would put in one contact lens and put his glasses on to watch that. It was like something out of Bottom. It was ridiculous.
In the kingdom of the blind, that man is getting exiled because he's a mess, to be quite frank. He's not to be trusted. Fantastic. Well, look, the image of you in your student house warming your hands by the massive bifty you've got on the guy, it really is good stuff. Speaking of your sartorial elegance, did you see Mikel Antonio on the telly looking like all of Drew Hill? Fantastic.
I thought it was quite arty. It's like is there an episode of The Simpsons where Barney marries Yoko Ono?
Yes, number eight. That one.
That's the one. It's like those kind of vibes, I thought.
Yeah, I look out for that noise pretty soon, because Andy, I don't mind admitting with my mittens that to enchant you, because you're a man of European stylings and you like your European tucker, I ate half a panettone that we'd had from Christmas. And my stomach has started complaining like you wouldn't believe. So I thought I'd chase me losses, which you should never do, Ivan. I went for a big bowl of kind of like Donaldson tapas. Brie, okay. Budget piccalilli, a little pot of garlic buttermilk mayo from KFC, and some mango. Pick that one out of the net.
Oh.
Pick that one out of your teeth.
Don will be having that on OTC Game of the Week.
Certainly will. Well, in the football tonight, there was a Premier League match taking place. It was Brentford 1, Manchester City 3. This game made it 45 goals in this Premier League game week, which is a new record. I've not looked at my fantasy team for about three seasons now. I'm sure they're faring well. It's going to be a bumper week for some people, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it will be, especially those people who've are queuing up on Twitter going, oh, I brought back Haaland and I triple captained him and I dropped Foden to give him a go, yeah. Which is obviously quite amusing. It's funny, I'm thinking a lot about City's succession plan today because KDB is back, the hair is definitely back,
yeah,
and yet you've got Foden running the show. And this, I think, was probably about as entertaining as a City game against Brentford could get. Now, I know some people out there will say, well, it would have been more entertaining if Brentford had beaten them like they did twice last season. Now, that might be true in terms of the balance of the league. But the fact that Brentford took the lead, despite the fact they were getting absolutely marmalised during that first half, missed a ton of chances, and it was just the timing of the goal. You know, you would have felt more inclined to believe that it would go on a little bit longer had Brentford been winning at halftime, I suppose. And then you got to see City do all their party tricks after halftime, and that felt about as satisfying as it could get, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a full-strength Man City side looks like. I mean, I can't think of another Premier League team, Andy, with so few absences and coming at such a useful time for them.
Yeah, that is true. But I do think those injuries, like I said, have left their mark because it's definitely affected the balance of power in the team. Now, I know when Kevin De Bruyne came back at Newcastle and obviously turned that game in the space of, 25 minutes or so, it's easy to slot into the, he's the best playmaker in the world, he's the best midfielder in the league, whatever. I think we can't really say that is the case anymore because he's missed like such a huge chunk of this season. And like I said, this season, in terms of City being the Death Star, well, the Death Star that doesn't get blown up, and keeping on rolling and rolling and rolling for seasons to come, charges for financial skullduggery notwithstanding, this really feels like the season that they're building that because of Foden's age, because of the way he's played, because of the role he's played this season. And you talked about Mikel Antonio afterwards going, I feel he should play for England more. And if Marcus was here, obviously he'd say, well, you've got to justify yourself. You've got to say who you're going to leave out or whatever. We're not going to do that working because we're not Lions Watch. But I think on a night like that, you think Foden could run any team. And this is the season. This has been his sort of coming out season, hasn't it, really? The fact that before it felt like he was nice to have. Now it feels more discernibly like he's running City. And De Bruyne will be nice to have in the run-in, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Foden was showing the kind of clinical finishing that Haaland didn't at times. Haaland obviously had a couple of chances that either hit the keeper's legs or he just couldn't get quite in the place that he needed to be to sort of finish off. But he's obviously coming back to full fitness. But when you've got a footballer like Phil Foden, I mean, I think it's only his second hat-trick in his career. But there were some tidy finishes. The second with the header, that glancy and fancy. I mean, you put yourself in the shoes of the Brentford defenders, Andy, and then punch yourself in the stomach because you were awful at that point. It was really astonishingly kind of like everyone just thought he's got to be offside, but he wasn't, and he finished beautifully. You don't see those kind of like, it's not even a cushioned header. It's just like, I just need to get something on it, and I know exactly where I'm going to put it, and the keeper just kind of whiffs it into the back of the net. It was so good.
Yeah, it was. It was almost like a messy header, wasn't it? It was that sort of rarity, that sort of deliciousness, wasn't it? And I kind of think that, you know, when a keeper gets a decent hand on something and it goes in anyway, the inclination is to blame the goalkeeper. But it felt like Fleckham was a little bit off balance for that. And yeah. it's because, well, you wouldn't expect Phil Foden to head it, would you?
No. it's really
that simple. So maybe that's why his weight distribution wasn't quite right and he ended up diving over a little bit further in the wrong direction than he wanted to. It was a really, really good header, though. But I think the chat online about how brilliant Mark Flecken was, obviously he made a load of saves during that first half, and quite a lot of them were good saves. But I don't think there are any, I can't believe he's done that kind of saves. They all felt like savable saves if you're a decent goalkeeper, if that makes sense. It felt to me more like Brentford doing quite a good job defending, so a lot of those City shots were from outside the penalty area anyway.
Well, I mean, obviously, Flecken had, I think it was the most saves made in the first half. Flecken's 9 saves was the most made in a single Premier League half since records began. Surely records just began with the start of the Premier League, if it's a Premier League record, surely. Surely yeah, someone's exactly. gone back and fit. There's not that much to kind of pile through. Can we not just set AI on this? I mean, Brentford, like you say, I think Brentford could be really, really not pleased, because obviously they've lost the match, and obviously they performed very well in the two previous fixtures last season, home and away, and very few teams have gone 3 against Man City in order. I think Liverpool managed it back in 15-16. But I think I'm getting emotional by the Brentford performance. I think the Brentford fans, although they haven't seen a lot of points getting racked up recently, you would probably say, I think having such a talismanic sort of presence like Ivan Toney, the way that he kind of like, for their goal, for Maupay's goal, the way that he sort of leans into the player and sort of basically takes someone out. And Flecken got his assist, I believe.
I mean, obviously, it came to him directly from a goal kick, and you can't be offside from a goal kick. But every time I see Toney and Maupay at the moment, I just feel a little bit sad, because, you know, it's not a partnership that's going to last, obviously, because Ivan Toney is going to be off next season. I would love them, the pair of them, to be a Premier League mainstay, because I went to Spurs-Brentford last week, and they are just so incredibly annoying together.
Yeah.
In every way. You can't pick who's the little brother, because they're both little brother level of annoying. You know, they are just insufferable, really. And, you know, people manifesting it as the dart celebration was, what made them annoying. It's not. They're just annoying. That was their vessel for that day, by the way. And it just so happened, because they're annoying, they really got under James Maddison's skin in that particular moment. But you know, he was, Maupay was, he was getting into it with Ruben Dias, wasn't he? Every corner that he was picking him up, and he's just, don't stop, Neil. We're enjoying it. We're enjoying it.
Well, speaking of celebrations, obviously Phil Foden, another projectile celebration. Doing the old gun guns, doing the old M16, doing little Kalashnikovs. These young men better be careful. Conscription is round the corner, and they are of age. That's all I'm saying. They are of age. I hated to see it the first time. I didn't like it the second. Andy, the man needs to stop scoring, because I don't like seeing guns in football, quite frankly.
No. Well, I suppose in terms of lameness, it's kind of the same level as the Robbie Keane cartwheel, really, isn't it? I mean, I just don't want to see it because it's rubbish.
I'm not going to read anything into it. I'm just saying that it just sucks, man. It absolutely sucks.
It does. It's rubbish. I think there are obviously certain media outlets that, if it was Raheem Sterling, would be taking a completely different spin on it. But it's not. It's Phil Foden, and he will grow out of it and get a better celebration, because he's going to score more and more goals. So he really needs to get a better celebration.
yes, he does. All right, we'll be back in a second, and we'll be going to talk about both teams in the scope of the Premier League. Where are Man City going? Where are Brentford going? You'll find out next, because Andy will tell us.
Hold up.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
See what happens.
Thank you, Pet.
You're very welcome.
And Happy New Year.
All right, we're back with Ramble Reacts. Pete and Andy are talking about, well, the football match that that took place this evening. Brentford 1, Manchester City 3. Foden with a hat-trick and Maupay with Brentford's goal. Brentford have now dropped 26 points from winning positions this season, the most of any side. Are they in trouble? Can they be in trouble when there's some absolute dross in this league?
That last point is a very compelling one, Pete, I have to say. Mm. But I think they are in a bit of trouble. I guess Tony coming back has made everyone forget what the table actually looks like. You know, it feels like they've kept him beyond the January transfer window, despite his best efforts to get them to sell him in what can only be described as an incredible display of ingratitude. Yeah. After the last little while. But there's always feels like there's one team who round about February you feel are safe, and they're definitely not safe. And you don't need any particular foresight to see that. I mean, you talked about the numbers there. I think because they have like competed in every game, it feels like you said it at the top when you went, oh, I don't know if they'll be too disappointed with that. You know, they played pretty well. And I had the same feeling when I went to Spurs-Brentford last week. They made it really difficult for Spurs and they could have easily got something out of that. And you can look so many of these other games and think that, especially recently, especially since Ivan Toney's come back. But let me hit you with their fixture list to come, because it is absolutely horrendous, particularly when you consider they're only 3 points above the bottom three at the moment. So they're going to Wolves, then right. Home to Liverpool, away to Man City, again, win that rearranged game that they're off at the Club World Cup for. Then they've got to go to West Ham, Chelsea, away to Arsenal, Burnley, which is like that is like the fourth week of March, and you think, okay, that's doable. And then Man United, Brighton, Villa, there are some really tough games in there. Yeah. If you said to me in 6 weeks' time, they'll be firmly ensconced in the bottom three, I would believe you quite easily. Yeah.
I mean, reading those fixtures out, I mean, I felt a wave of nausea. It might have been the Panettone. It might very well have been the league table. So Man City are now above Arsenal in second. And if they win their final game in hand, they will go top of the table. Man City, for me, feels like we've left the baby unattended and it's pulled a big cup of coffee onto the floor. And we've only got ourselves to blame. We allowed Man City to get back into this, and it's happened. It's happening. They've got their game in hand, which I think is against Brentford, I believe. Is it?
Yes, it is. At Brentford. The Etihad, yeah.
Right. They will look forward to perfecting the form, Phil Ford and et al. It's like Man City, they're doing it, and they're coming into form, and they are injuryless at a really, really helpful time.
Yeah, that they are. And I think as well, if you look at the Champions League last 16 tie they have against Copenhagen, who really deserved to come out of that group with Bayern that had obviously Manchester United and Galatasaray in it. Obviously, they're well run. They were good in the group stage. Come on, it's the draw that City wanted. You know?
Yeah.
And it's the draw that a lot of teams wanted. And City are going to be delighted with that. It feels like they've results-wise kicked into ominous form without really hitting their best yet. You know, I think there are a couple more gears to go as well. You know, you said it about Haaland looking a little bit rusty tonight. I think that's fair as well. So you've got more to come from him. De Bruyne is still feeling his way back gradually. You know, they've just got such an incredible amount of options, really. And I think a few people out there have made the point that Pep Guardiola might have been sitting there watching Arsenal-Liverpool earlier. And I know Jim said about making your own luck in case of Arsenal. It was an enjoyable, but it was kind of an error-strewn game. I don't think there's any getting around that, really. So I think from City's perspective, you think, these two are our closest contenders. Okay, well, you go for it, lads. We'll be
we
waiting.
Could probably keep it a bit tidier than you and tighter. Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you sort of see Man City? I mean, would you expect? I'd very much like this if Pep Guardiola at the end of the season, Thelma and Louise style, just got in a convertible with Klopp and just drove off into the distance. Imagine if they had some kind of weird pact going and they both agreed to leave at the same time, but Pep didn't put out his press release and now Klopp is left holding the baby. Man City, though, are strengthening even further. They've agreed a deal to sign Savio, who's currently on loan at Girona. Andy Brassel, your take on this man? I don't know much about him because I'm me, but you do because you're you.
There'll be lots of people pretending to know him, Pete. So you know you could have lent into that.
Shit.
But the interesting thing is he's City Group all over. He's on loan from Troyes, who are the French arm of the City Football Group. So he's belonged to Troyes for going on 2 years, but he's never played for them and he never will play for them. They're in the French second division. He's 19 years old. He can play. He's a left footer. He plays either a winger or as a left winger or as a number 10. I think you can see exactly where he's going to fit in at City. And I think it's clear at the moment that what we're seeing is the Kevin De Bruyne farewell tour. You know, he's doing his full Kobe Bryant business and presumably on the last day of the season against whoever they're going to play. West Ham. Yeah, he's going to score a hat-trick in that, isn't he? Like Kobe's 60 against the Utah Jazz. It's going to be that sort of business. So I think you look at that, you look at the fact that Foden's playing inside more, getting another left winger does kind of make sense. And you just look at, you know, I think it's easy to say, even as someone who watches Girona regularly, it's easy to look at it and think it's a massive step up to join Manchester City. But then the bit you're always forgetting is the coaching. It seemed like a massive step up for Doku, but like in a matter of weeks, really, Guardiola has turned him from an interesting player with a big upside into like near world beater. But, you know, I would back Fabio to go there and do Savio to go there and do pretty well. It's easy to look at a lot of players outside Manchester City at the moment, even belonging to their satellite clubs, and thinking, how on earth could they ever get near the first team there? But something happens when they start to train there. And yeah, Pep happens. Exactly.
It is like, I think facing Manchester City, I mean, this season and the back end of this season, also next season, like it is a little bit like, right, well, fun's coming inside. Who have we got now? Who have we got to do with it? It's like cutting off the head of a hydra and just having three groin its place. It's not ideal. It really, really isn't. But Man City's next Premier League games are all at home. Everton, Chelsea, and as we said just then, Brentford. However, though, Man City have only kept one clean sheet in their last 12 league games. Is that indicative of some bigger issue, or are they just dealing with players coming back and being a little bit rusty?
I don't know, actually. I think you definitely feel that they give you a chance. Mm. And they gave Brentford a few chances in that first half.
It was quite open, wasn't it? I was surprised at how well Brentford played and how some pretty rudimentary sort of overlapping seemed to sort of undo Man City a couple of times.
Yeah, and just the straight ball for the goal, really. It kind of feels sometimes like City are setting themselves challenges, or Guardiola is setting them challenges just to see like how they can get out of it. You know, there's a Houdini element to it, isn't there, really? But, you know, you talked about it before with the personnel, really, how they set themselves those challenges. Like, last summer, they lost a couple of players, and you think, how on earth are they going to replace them? Especially Gundogan, the way he played in the back half of last season, particularly. They'll do it again this summer, won't they? They'll lose a couple of players, and you think, it's absolutely impossible to replace those. And they do. They do it again and again and again. They love to find these little puzzles and just to work them out,
just to make it interesting. And I guess like Gundogan's kind of when he kind of moved further, you know, Pep basically pushed him up the field and went, he's so much better than he was last season, and all I had to do was just move him up the pitch, and then they got rid of him. And it's kind of like, it does feel like Pep's sort of setting himself these kind of labyrinthian little kind of puzzles and getting out of them every single time. He's just bored. The man's bored, and he's toying with us, for crying out loud. It's very upsetting, Andy, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, actually. But look, I want to believe in the jeopardy of the back end of this Premier League. So what I'm going to do is, as soon as we finish recording this, I am going to turn all the lights off and watch the whole 90 plus minutes of Arsenal versus Liverpool again. That's what I'm going to do from yesterday. Go. Yeah, sort of get in the zone. It's like, I remember someone once saying to me, the first time you watch Apocalypse Now, you've got to watch it really hammered in the dark. And I think there's something to that.
Andy.
Obviously, it wasn't possible because I only had Groundhog Day. But
exactly. You know, what are the best conditions to watch Groundhog Day? In the cold, in a student digs in Newcastle.
Exactly.
Warming yourself by an old VCR. Well, we obviously did have a Football Ramble show recorded earlier today. This show's going to be going out very, very soon indeed. But moments after the end of today's show, Neil Warnock put pen to scroll, and he was announced as Aberdeen's new manager until the end of the season. He said he'd turned down jobs with three times the money in order to go to Aberdeen. Now, knowing a little bit about Aberdeen and that league, I don't think that's as impressive as it should be, really. Three times the money that Aberdeen could offer me. I don't think that's a lot of money. I don't think that's a big shout, Andy.
No, I wonder, actually. Yeah. And it's funny, you know, you see clubs that qualify for Europe and you think it's horrible because it's the lack of romance in the modern game. But you see clubs qualify for Europe and you think, yeah, they ain't built for this. They're really going to struggle. And Aberdeen have got this incredible European history as well. You think Sir Alex Ferguson and, you know, that glue pot of a pitch in Gothenburg and Cup with his cup and all that sort of, against Real Madrid and all that sort of stuff. But these days, you know, them having to come up against PAOK and Eintracht Frankfurt, it's impossible, really.
Yeah.
It's so tough. So that is really done for Barry Robson. But look, from the Warnock factor, obviously, I think it's not unfair of the pair of us, or not presumptuous for the pair of us, to say the official Ramble position is hooray. I think the second part of that is, I mean, he's always been quite firm about, I'm going to continue living in Cornwall. I mean, he is really testing that theory this time, isn't he? I mean, maybe there is an EasyJet flight up to Aberdeen from somewhere in the south-south-south.
It'll be Flybe, won't it?
Yeah,
it'll be one of them. Like, it'll be exposed propellers. You won't have a turbine. You'll have a turbo prop, for crying out loud. Well, speaking of planes, Andy, Jesse Lingard. Did you say everyone was, I think, 1,000 people on Flight Radar 24? One of my favourite websites, has to be said.
Yes.
They were, 1,000 people were watching him on Flight Radar, and all of the usual plane spotters were going, why is everyone watching this particular plane? But it was because Jesse Lingard was heading from presumably London to Seoul, to Itaewon Airport. I think it's Itaewon Airport, the name of it. Jailings dropped down, and he was handed a flute at arrivals in Seoul Airport. I made the joke on my notes, wrote it down. I said, I'll say that on the show. Marcus jumped in the WhatsApp group, did the joke about Paul Gascoigne. You came on the Riverside call. You did the joke about Paul Gascoigne. Finn did it. Producer Finn. I'm not even saying it. Don't even mention Paul Gascoigne, Andy Brassel. How dare you?
You know what? But can I mention Gazza? That's the question.
You can mention Gazza.
Thank you. Look, if we were the Wu-Tang Clan, which I think in the football podcast community, we kind of are.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's not a big deal to bite each other's lines, is it? So it's all share alike. And, you know,
if you've ever seen the Ramble live show, we start the run with so many jokes and they all get absorbed by everyone else. other parts of the team, it's very upsetting.
hands off Pete's jokes, everyone. Hands off Pete's
hands
jokes.
Off my jokes. I don't think anyone can steal my jokes. They're very, they're not really jokes, Andy. They're just sentences. But I mean, FC Seoul are six-time K-League champions, twice reached the final of the Asian Champions League. And, you know, I love that part of the world. And I do think the standard of living is much higher than something you would expect with a similar kind of income. Like, he's going to have a lot of fun. If he can stick it out, and if he's not just one of those kind of Gary Lineker footballers who gets in a car at the start of the day from his hotel, goes to training, comes home, stays in his hotel, goes to the football match, comes back to his hotel. If he kind of goes in with 2 feet, so to speak, I think he's going to have a bloody brilliant time. Seoul is one of the best cities in the world.
He could have some incredible stories to tell. I mean, I always think about one of my favourite players, André Pierre Gignac, who left Marseille at 31. Mm. He could have gone elsewhere for a hell of a lot of money. Mm. He ended up choosing to go to Tigres in Mexico. Mm. And you can tell in France when they're writing about a player moving somewhere, if they're really looking down their nose at the league that they're writing about, because they put... he's going to a slightly more exotic league, is the way they put it. And you're like, that's so snobby. Anyway, Gignac has gone there 200 years later, it feels like that, but 200 goals later, he's gone along at an average of about, what, 25 a year, 25, 30 a year. And he's top scorer in their history. And, you know, he's lived an incredible experience. And it's that, it kind of gets me thinking, you know, like when we look up down our noses a bit at, say, Saudi Arabia. Now, I realise for some people, it genuinely is a human rights thing. And it genuinely is a sense of these players at the peak of their career are going to a shit league for the money. Okay, fine. Yeah. But I think a lot of people have missed out the fact that Saudi has an incredible football culture. It does have an incredible football culture. And, you know, whatever you think of the people who run the country, that will not cease to be the case. So I think it's easy for us to forget with our Premier League-centric, or in my case, maybe Europe-centric view of football, that actually there are all these other places where you can have an amazing time. And not just in terms of like going and living in the city and having a brilliant time, like I'm sure you would in Seoul or Tokyo or Osaka or whatever. But I think there are football cultures out there that people are not connected to at all, where you could live incredible experiences. And I hope he does, and I hope he becomes a legend there.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, that... Feeling a little bit emotional there, Andy. I just want Jesse Lingard to have a nice time and to be a success. Well, you can join us on Wednesday for the Ramble. The Ramble will be back. Myself, Andy, will be back with Marcus and Jim for the latest from the FA Cup replays, the adventures of Pascal Chimbonda. He's been... I won't spoiler it. He's in more trouble. And Arturo Vidal's quite frankly ridiculous unveiling at his new club. Andy, quick line. How would you... take you back to the student gears. Quick line. How would you unveil yourself at a new football club if you had the opportunity? Say you are landing in FC Seoul and you could get unveiled in however many different ways that you could. You've got to choose one. How would you do it?
I would turn up with Gabriel Byrne, Benicio Del Toro, Stephen Baldwin and right. Kevin Pollock. And people would have to pick me out of a lineup.
Right. Very nice. I like that you seem to know exactly the actors who are in The Usual Suspects.
So, and exactly the one you're not allowed to mention anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, you can find us on X, you can find us on TikTok, you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on YouTube, at Football Ramble, and do subscribe to us on Spotify. We'll see you very soon indeed. Goodbye, Andy.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.